How has environmentalism gone from being about saving wild places and wild beings to perpetuating this culture? And not surprisingly, I have a bunch of responses to this. One of them is that there's a sense in which this is a very long, at least 120, 130 year battle for the soul of environmentalism. And it is many ways of the battle between Gifford Pinchot and John Muir, where John Muir wanted to save wild places for themselves and Gifford Pinchot wanted to save them as resources for us to use and to be used wisely. And so there's that sense, but then more recently in my lifetime as an activist, there has been, well, let's go through the 60s and 70s where there was for a time, like with the Endangered Species Act, at least some attempt to save nature for its own sake. But one of the things that this culture excels at is taking any movement for justice and sanity and co-opting it into furthering the ends of this culture. And so you can get the another way to say this is that you can have slavery outlawed in the United States, and then because the underlying bigotry and entitlement that led to slavery in the first place is still there, once slavery was outlawed as such, they came up with different ways to achieve their same ends through through Jim Crow laws and through the prison industrial complex. And we see the same thing with feminism, whereas a backlash against second wave feminism, you have third wave feminism coming along that is actually used to further the exploitation of women through its support of pornography, prostitution, and so on, which are clearly anti-feminist positions. And we see the same thing in environmentalism, that you have in the 60s and 70s, especially 70s, and you have in the Wilderness Acts, various beginnings of those, and then you have, there's been a slow erosion of that movement that had environmentalism as saving wild places and wild beings till today. I want to go at this from one more direction, which is in my own lifetime and my own experience, and I cut my teeth really with grassroots activism, not with mainstream activism such as National Wildlife Federation, but instead with local groups and with local activists. And the reason all these activists were doing the work is to protect this or that wild place or this or that wild being. But that has been completely transformed today, and especially through sort of mainstream environmentalism, where sustainability is not actually about sustaining the real world. Sustainability is about sustaining this culture for a little bit longer, this culture that is killing the real world. And so you can get, just today, I saw an article about 10 new inventions that can, or 10 new technologies that can save the oceans. And these technologies were like technologies for mining in the oceans and technologies for gaining electricity from the oceans. And I'm sorry, that's not actually saving the oceans. What that's doing is attempting to perpetuate this culture a little bit longer. And it's the same with all of the so-called green technologies, where when we talk about sustainability, like okay, when people listening to this think about sustainability, what's the first thing you think of? They probably think about solar. They think about wind energy. They think about hydroelectric. They think about, that's what sustainability means. But I'm sorry, does wind energy actually help birds? Does wind energy actually help the planet? Does it help the forests? Does it help the deserts? Does solar energy really help the deserts? No, not at all. And so we can see news articles that say things like destroying the desert, sacrificing the desert to save the planet. And that was about putting in these huge solar facilities in the desert. And they're destroying habitat for desert tortoises, for birds, for all sorts of creatures and plants. And that's not actually saving the planet at all. What that's doing is providing electricity for industry. And none of this should really surprise us, because this culture has long since conflated itself with the real world and conflated this culture with all cultures. One example of this that's kind of silly is when I was in college, a lot of my fellow students would say, so what are you going to do when you get out in the real world? And what they actually meant is, what are you going to do when you have to get a real job, when you have to get a job? And I mean, what I'm going to do when I get out in the real world is I'm going to roll around in the dirt. You know, that's the real world. But there's this conflation, this culture. I've had so many people say to me over the years, gosh, Derek, you need to stop talking about saving salmon. You need to get back in the real world. And what they're meaning is saving industry. And that's a huge conflation that this culture has been able to make us conflate saving the world with saving industry, with saving this culture. And there's two things about this. One is, it's not a surprise, because this culture is so narcissistic that it thinks it is the world. It thinks that it is the only thing that matters. I have always, since I was a child, hated the phrase, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound? I was like, of course. The other trees hear it. The birds hear it. The mice hear it. Everybody else hears it. Just because a human's not there doesn't mean that there's no sound. I mean, that is so incredibly narcissistic. And then another reason that this doesn't surprise me is because one of the things that happens in all abusive situations is that everyone is inculcated into identifying with the oppressor, identifying with the abuser, identifying with the perpetrator. And so, of course, when we have this entire abusive culture that's abusing the world, we, of course, are taught from a very young age to identify that this culture is the world, and this culture is what needs to be sustained. And if this culture goes, then life will end. Everything good will end. And I don't think that meadowlarks would agree, and I don't think the prairie dogs would agree, that if this culture ends, that everything good will end. And this goes back to something that we've discussed in previous videos, that is that so many indigenous people have said to me that the first and most important thing we have to do is to decolonize our hearts and minds. And part of that decolonization is changing your loyalty from this culture to the real world. And when you've changed your loyalty from this culture to the real world, and you want to start trying to sustain the real world, everything changes, and everything, your perspective changes completely. And then you start trying to figure out, how do we save this or that being, this or that place? But the first thing you have to do is to get the idea out of your head that sustainability means sustaining this culture.